Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
What does freedom feel like?
It's amazing. It's hard not to find me with a smile on my face. It's just an overwhelming happiness that I can't and don't want to ever lose.
Weeks worth of testimony, dozens of witnesses. This jury deliberated roughly 10 hours. We can only imagine the emotion that must have been going on.
Off the sidewalk, please.
David Kam immediately erupted into tears when that verdict came down, a verdict they have waited 13 years for.
Stay back. Stay back, please.
Stay on the grass or not the pass.
David Kam not guilty on all three counts of murder in this case.
In some aspects, it's like I was never gone.
Herbie?
With the exception of the fact that nieces and nephews and cousins are all grown and...
You're taller than I thought you were. You're really tall.
Seeing people I haven't seen in a long time. Giving them hugs and kisses and, you know, it's just a real joy. I want my family back. I want my babies back. I want my wife back.
You saw a body on the floor of the garage?
Yeah. And I get down in her face and I'm yelling at her, Kim, Kim, Kim. In her eyes, I could tell she was gone. And it just hit me. Where are the kids? Where are the kids?
We're not going to get David Kam to ever tell the truth. This guy's a murderer. He killed his wife. He killed his two beautiful children. My name is Charles Bonet, and I'm linked to David Kam because I'm the individual that sold him the weapon that he used to kill his family.
Did you know Charles Bonet? Had you ever met him?
No.
Never laid eyes on him?
No.
So you think the prosecutor helped Charles Bonet come up with the story?
I know that the investigators helped Charles Bonet to create a story.
The government hid evidence, lied to me about the evidence.
The time the crime was wrong, elements of the crime scene were incorrectly portrayed, and David Kam gets arrested. How just was that?
Justice is a very hard thing to define, and justice is a very hard thing to do.
It took three trials, two convictions overturned by the Court of Appeals before the truth finally came out and established David as totally innocent of the murder of his family.
Charles Bonet is the person that killed my family.
He thinks he's won by being free, but really, we have unfinished business.
He's a psychopath. He's a liar. My assessment of the justice system, specifically in southern Indiana, is that at the trial court level, it's a disaster. These people that represent the state are incapable of doing the right thing.
Oh, now?
I have earned the right to have that opinion, Richard. I've earned that right.
It's good to see you, Richard Schlesinger.
Dave Kamm, nice to meet you.
For 12 years, David Kamm has been talking to 48 Hours about the one night when his life was forever changed.
Everybody out here to my house now!
Okay, all right.
My wife and my kids are dead! Get everybody out here!
The way David Kamm tells it, on September 28th, 2000, he returned home from playing basketball and discovered a scene that is still hard to imagine, let alone look at. His wife, Kim, was on the floor of the garage. Her pants had been removed. His 5-year-old daughter, Jill, and his 7-year-old son, Bradley, were slumped inside the SUV. They had been shot dead with one bullet each, like an execution.
It's Dave Kamm. Let me talk to post command right now.
Months earlier, Kamm had quit the Indiana State Police to work at his family's business. But within 3 days of the murders, his former colleagues, his buddies, concluded he was the killer and charged him with 3 counts of homicide. And from our first interview in 2002, as he was in jail awaiting trial, he has insisted he is innocent.
What about Kamm and Brad and Jim? And what about the son of a bitch that's out there that did this? And what about the fact that I'm sitting in this jail? What about those questions? I want some answers.
But Frank and Janice Wren, Kim's parents, Brad and Jill's grandparents, have all the answers they need. They know who killed their family.
There's no way you're going to bring the kids back and my daughter back, no matter what they do with David. But he'll have to suffer. When he dies someday, if it's soon or it's 40 years from now, he's got to answer to God.
Except Kamm has what could be an airtight alibi. At the time of the murders, he said he was here, a few minutes away in a church gymnasium, playing basketball with 11 other people.
How sure are you that David Kamm was here for the entire 2 hours and change that you were here?
I'm 100% sure, because I saw him walking on the side, I saw him sitting down.
At his trial in 2002, prosecutors laid out their theory. The basketball players were focused on their game. Kamm somehow slipped out of the gym, went home, killed his family, and came back unnoticed. To counter those 11 eyewitnesses, the prosecutors have these 8 tiny specks of blood on Kamm's T-shirt.
Well, what I'm going to do is to demonstrate.
The prosecution's blood expert, Rod Englert, called it high-velocity impact spatter.
This is blood that has been hit by something going very fast, like a bullet.
Right. This is so unique and so separate from other stains that one can say with confidence that this is from high-velocity mist, that the person that got this on him would be in close proximity, within 4 feet of the shots when they were fired.
Kamm says those tiny bloodstains were transferred to his shirt when he reached inside the car to pull out his son. His lawyers say 11 eyewitnesses can't be wrong. The DA says 8 blood spots can't be wrong. And, say the prosecutors, besides the blood evidence, Kamm had a strong motive to kill his family. Prosecutors found more than a dozen women who say they'd had affairs with Kamm, or at least had been propositioned.
It's sheer stupidity on my part. I allowed myself to get caught in something that never should have happened. And, you know, I take full responsibility for that.
It shows motive, exactly.
Stan Faith was the lead prosecutor.
From a legal standpoint, we're showing what was going on in this man's mind prior, and considerably prior, to the murders, and how long it was developing and growing up into the hateful fruit that we saw on September 28th.
Well, I think that's utterly ridiculous.
When the medical examiner, Dr. Tracy Corey, thought she found signs that Jill had been molested within 24 hours of her death, prosecutors suggested that might have been a motive.
The jury may believe that, yeah.
I said, what are you talking about? So this is my 5-year-old daughter, and I did not molest her, and I did not kill her.
David Kam had never been accused of molesting Jill, and he was never charged with it in this case.
He's doing fine.
Kam's family, led by his uncle, Sam Lockhart, who was also one of those basketball players, never once doubted his innocence.
He was arrested 3 days after the murders. How thorough of an investigation can you do in 3 days? I think once they got beyond the path of no turning back, now their egos become involved and their political aspirations become involved.
And as a Kam jury spends another night in the motel, they
extend the jury deliberation room actually in there because there's so much work that needs to be over.
But the jury convicted Kam after deliberating for 3 days. Kam was sentenced to 195 years for the murder of his family.
11 witnesses said he was at the basketball game.
He's guilty.
Guilty.
But while this was the end of the trial, it was far from the end of this case.
This is just a delay. We're not quitting. I want to find out who killed those kids and Kim. I want to find that out, Richard. And we're not going to quit until we do or we die.
One key to this case was in front of everyone's eyes, right there, next to Bradley's body, a sweatshirt. Prosecutors knew in 2002 that there was some mystery DNA on it, along with a cryptic name inside the collar, Backbone. But they never investigated.
The killer left the calling card there. That's the biggest clue in the case. We need to find out who was wearing that shirt.
What if it comes back David Kam was wearing
that
shirt?
It's not David Kam's sweatshirt.
It took 5 years to find out, but David Kam was right. The sweatshirt belonged to this man, Charles Bonet, an ex-con with a nickname, Backbone.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
He is the person that killed my family. He's a psychopath. He's a liar. He is the guy that has hurt waves and waves and waves of people. People that I love and care about.
Who is that?
Charles Bonet.
Okay, so after
Charles Bonet is the man who turned this case upside down. He is, to be charitable, a man whose honesty can honestly be questioned.
Never, ever encountered Mr. David Kam.
That's what he said when he was first interviewed about this case. And this is what he said to us a few years later.
I lied about not knowing David Kam in the very beginning. I lied about not being at the crime scene. I gave Pinocchio a run for the Oscar. You know.
You told a lot of lies.
I had to.
Nobody knew anything about Bonet until an appeals court threw out David Kam's convictions, saying the prosecutor should never have introduced all those women Kam had affairs with. It was 2004. There was a newly elected prosecutor, Keith Henderson, who defeated Stan Faith.
The Court of Appeals didn't say he was innocent.
Henderson decided to try Kam again, and he was forced by a court order to test that DNA on the sweatshirt.
I did not know what we were going to find.
They quickly found Charles Bonet. The DNA was entered into a database of known criminals, and it was an easy match. They also matched a palm print found on the family's SUV to Bonet.
My initial presumption was We've got the guy. It's over.
It was 5 years after the murders, and now there was a new suspect and a new question. Why didn't Stan Faith, the first prosecutor, find Bonet?
You did know that the unknown male DNA existed.
I knew that existed. The laboratory knew it existed. And I asked a state police officer, the lead investigator, to check that out. And he told me he checked it out, and there wasn't anything that they had.
But Bonet's DNA was in the database all along. Faith now says there must have been some misunderstanding on the part of the state police about what he wanted.
You asked the state police to run it. How is that misunderstood?
I don't know.
In 2002, Faith told Cam's first defense attorney, Mike McDaniel, that there was no match. After all these years, McDaniel still thinks Faith never even tried to match the DNA.
I think I was lied to. I mean, that's me.
I did not tell him a lie. I certainly did not do that. I told him the truth as I was told the information by the state police. Period.
It turns out there was plenty of evidence implicating Bonet from day one of the investigation. Not just the DNA and the palm print, but that nickname, Backbone, that Bonet used when he was in prison.
You had all of these signposts pointing you towards Bonet, kind of staring you in the face.
20/20 hindsight says
that's
that.
Not 20.
That's
I'm sorry, sir.
Hindsight,
it isn't.
Sir.
You know, here we've known each other a long time, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but we were asking questions about that sweatshirt 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
We asked questions about the sweatshirt too. We looked at that, and I cannot tell you why the name Bonet did not come up. I wish it had come up.
What must that have done to you when you learned all of this stuff that you could have had in your trial, in your case?
I spoke harshly to Mr. Faith.
Harshly?
Yes, sir.
What'd you say to Mr. Faith?
I cursed him like a wet dog.
Bonet could have been the answer to the prayers of Cam's first attorney, Mike McDaniel. Bonet grew up around New Albany, and he soon started getting into trouble. His record includes armed robbery and a history of attacking women.
He was just waving the gun at us, hollering.
He terrorized Donna Ennis and her two roommates in 1992.
Do you think that Charles Bonet was going to kill you that time?
Yes.
You thought you were going to die right there?
Well, that night, yes.
That night?
Yes.
And there is one other intriguing aspect of Bonet's criminal background.
You know, quite honestly, for anyone who doesn't know the story, I have a foot fetish.
In fact, at one point, he was known to the police as the shoe bandit. He would make off with the shoes of his victims.
There's thousands of men that have foot fetishes or whatever. There's nothing unusual about that.
But in this case, Kim Cam was barefoot, and her shoes were placed neatly on top of her SUV in the midst of a messy crime scene. And that has always perplexed investigators.
Is it logical to make a connection between someone with your interest in feet and shoes to this crime where strange things happen to feet and shoes?
That would be a logical conclusion or a situation, yes. But it didn't happen that way.
So what did happen? Bonet is now trying to sell the story that all he did was sell David Cam a gun. And Bonet swears that's the truth.
I've learned you don't let the highs get too high. Otherwise, you know, you're going to fall off a cliff if you go too far in allowing yourself to presume that you're going to be victorious.
In 2005, things were looking up for David Cam. His convictions had been thrown out. He was out on bond, and Charles Bonet had been tracked down. And then came word all charges against Cam had been dropped.
David, how does it feel to be out from behind bars?
Cam was technically a free man. It seemed too good to be true,
And it was.
I'm looking at the file as we speak.
Prosecutor Keith Henderson had to drop the old charges to file new charges against Cam and Bonet.
I didn't want David Cam to flee. I got a guy that's convicted and sentenced to 195 years, a natural life sentence.
So, a little more than an hour after the charges were dropped, the police showed up to rearrest David Cam.
They informed me that I was being recharged with the three counts of murder. Just sick in my stomach, sick in my gut, heartbroken.
In January 2006, Cam and Bonet went on trial separately and simultaneously, but on opposite sides of the state for murder and conspiracy.
After discovering Charles Bonet, my belief now is that this was planned, well in advance.
But one of Cam's lawyers, Kitty Lyle, believed Bonet would make all the difference in trial number two.
We can answer the question to the jury, if Dave Cam didn't do it, who did? Although a defendant never has the burden of proof, never has to prove they're innocent, the fact of the matter is jurors are human beings, they have natural questions, and they want that question answered.
Cam says he never heard of Bonet, but Bonet says the two met on a basketball court a few weeks before the murders.
He asked me if I had access or knew of a way in order to gain access to specifically a handgun.
Bonet says he delivered a gun to Cam's house the night of the murders.
I transported it inside of my sweatshirt, the infamous Backbone sweatshirt.
And that's how that sweatshirt came to be in that garage.
That's correct.
Bonet says when Cam came home a few minutes later, things started happening quickly.
And then along comes this black SUV.
He says Kim drove into the garage and Cam followed her.
I heard him talking a little more loudly. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear a pop. And then I hear another pop. And then the third pop. They were the gunshot deaths of his family.
And then, according to Bonet, Cam came after him.
When he came out of the garage, he pointed that weapon at me. And he pulled it. And there was nothing discharged.
To hear Bonet tell it, he had a close brush with death. But he says, right after the gun failed to fire, he chased Cam back into the garage. Who goes running after somebody who's just tried to kill him?
Why not run after him? There's no bullets in the weapon. I did go in after him. And if someone doesn't believe that, that's fine.
I'm sure it was his hope and belief that he could create a story that would, enable him to continue to get away with killing my family.
We have breaking news in the Charles Bonet triple murder trial. The jury just reached a verdict.
Guilty on all counts. With Bonet convicted, Cam was feeling better about his second trial, especially because the judge threw out the conspiracy charge. But he had to worry when he heard prosecutor Keith Henderson tell the jury about those unproven suspicions that Jill was molested.
What's it like to hear those allegations?
Now, that makes my blood boil. That's the one thing that really infuriates me more than a lot of things.
Because
it's not true, and because it is so inflammatory.
It would have been Jill's 11th birthday. And now David Cam's fate is once again in the hands of 12 jurors.
Spent a lot of time on my knees praying and believing.
It didn't work. Cam was found guilty again. This time, David Cam was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
So how do you convince people now from this place that you're an innocent man? You've had two trials, two convictions.
Well, I mean, at this point, Richard, people have formulated an opinion, and they either believe in me or they don't. There's one group of individuals that I'm concerned with right now, and that is the Indiana Supreme Court.
Cam's lawyers filed an appeal to the Indiana Supreme Court, and in 2009,
the justices overturned his second conviction. The court ruled, among other things, the jury was unfairly influenced by the unproven theory that Cam abused his daughter, saying, quote, "Missing from this record is any competent evidence of the premise that the defendant molested the child."
And I turned on the TV, and there it was.
And?
Tears, people yelling, congratulations, just an overwhelming happiness and the possibility of another shot.
And were you ready to go through this again?
Absolutely.
He would have to wait 3 years in maximum security for trial number 3.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
The third trial was based upon fact and evidence, and that's what trials are supposed to be about. That's what the courtroom is supposed to be about.
For David Kam's third trial, he has a third new lawyer, Rick Kamen, who is convinced he's innocent.
What kind of pressure does that put on you as a defense lawyer?
Huge.
Kamen is joining Stacey Ulyanov, who helped defend Cam in his second trial and argued his second appeal.
I wanted to make sure I was the person who stayed on the case, who got that opportunity to correct it.
We're putting on the evidence as best we can.
This time the defense will be up against a special prosecutor, Stan Levko, who had to familiarize himself with a 13-year-long investigation.
How does this rate with the number of boxes, I guess, that you have on a normal case?
Oh, this is... I personally never tried a case with this much.
It was a familiar scene, but a different courthouse on August 22, 2013, this time just outside Indianapolis. Frank and Janice Wren, who lost their daughter and their grandchildren, have been in court for almost every day of every trial.
Your mind spinning a lot, and my stomach turns sometimes on certain things, and I guess I just wonder why is this happening, you know?
David Kam's sister, Julie, came with their uncle, Sam Lockhart. They've been at Kam's side since day one.
Emotionally, financially, physically, all those things just taking a toll, not only on me, but on our family.
Once again, the jury would hear about the 11 basketball players and the 8 drops of blood. But this time, David Kam's lawyers had a different strategy and different experts.
What the defense hoped would be a major turning point in this case came from here, a most unlikely spot, 10,000 feet up in the Rocky Mountains, at this DNA lab.
So this is where you tested some of the evidence?
Yes.
Scientists Richard and Selma Eichlenboom are originally from the Netherlands.
In Holland, we do truth finding. We work for the courts.
As they showed us in this demonstration, their specialty is locating what's called touch DNA, using a very sensitive technique to find skin cells. And this time, they found DNA that would change everything.
So you found Bonet's DNA on all the victims?
Correct.
All over that crime scene?
Correct.
What does that tell you?
That he was active on this crime scene.
But Bonet says if his DNA is spread over the crime scene, David Kam put it there.
David Kam and I shook hands, for example.
Your DNA ended up all over that scene because you shook hands with David Kam.
Well, once again, my DNA is not all over the scene.
But the Eichlenbooms say their tests show Bonet's DNA on Jill's shirt, Bradley's shirt, Kim's shirt, and her underwear. And they say they also found Bonet's DNA under Kim's fingernails,
What's more, they insist the state police lab could have found it years ago if the technicians had looked more closely. And according to the Eichland Booms, that DNA is proof that Kim fought with Bonet.
If I strangle you, for instance, like we do this one,
yeah,
but this is a very logical reaction. I do this. What
right.
do you do?
I go like this.
Exactly.
That's what you think happened. That's how the DNA got under her fingernails.
There actually was DNA that they found of yours under her fingernails, and that really raises the question, how did that happen?
Well, I heard opposite. I heard that there was not any DNA under the fingernails.
No, there was DNA under the fingernails.
Well, I heard that there was not.
I'm telling you that there was, and so, I mean, that's... Doesn't that raise a question? If you were me, wouldn't you think that that was pretty damning evidence?
It does raise a question.
The touch DNA could be devastating to the prosecution, but Levko argues the touch DNA tests are unreliable because some of the evidence was previously contaminated.
We had a DNA expert that said that these are the most unreliable results she's seen in 25 years.
Your results were reviewed?
Yeah, and the interesting part was that they were not able to find one mistake or something wrong with the whole CAM case.
This is the first time any jury in the CAM case will consider this kind of evidence. And there will be another first. Charles Bonet, who has already been convicted of these murders, will testify for the prosecution. This jury would hear and see Charles Bonet, and so would David Kam.
We locked eyes, and he started going, just looking at me, shaking his head like that. I took that to mean something very specific. I took that as him saying, that's right, I killed your wife, I killed your kids, and now I'm getting ready to take you down.
Well, I honestly don't remember all of my exact thoughts, but I can assure you they weren't good.
Sitting there in the courtroom, I want to hurt him.
Did you want to hurt him or did you want to kill him?
13 years ago, I'd have taken him out. I stayed seated. I was spinning inside, but I stayed seated.
Bonet was smooth, calm, and confident on the stand as he told the jury all he did was provide David Kam with the gun. But the jury was not allowed to hear details about Bonet's violent criminal past, about his foot fetish, or that he was known as the shoe bandit.
And it just blew my mind when we weren't able to show the other side, where he got to pick and choose what felonies he wanted to talk about.
With his record of attacking women and his foot fetish, the defense has long argued that Bonet targeted Kim, followed her home, assaulted her, then murdered the family to conceal his crime.
One of our goals from the very beginning was to try and explain to the jury how events unfolded in the garage.
But the prosecutors were fighting to focus the jury on the blood because they argue nothing else really matters, that the only way those stains could have ended up on Cam's shirt is if he was the shooter. Prosecution Detective Roger Drew.
If you're standing where the shooter is now, Jill is in the back seat. The shooter fires, how does the blood end
this
up?
This area right here would have been exposed.
The defense brought in crime reconstructionist Eugene Lisio, who prepared a 3D demonstration to show how that is not possible.
If Jill's here, what's stopping the blood?
The actual vehicle itself. I believe those bloodstains came from transfer.
It was a lot for the jury to consider. 8 weeks of experts battling experts and witnesses contradicting each other. They deliberated 10 hours. And then they delivered the words David Kam had waited 13 years to hear. Not guilty.
That beginning of not with the N, that was extraordinary. The truth is going to prevail. But I had to hear three knots. You know, the first knot wasn't in and of itself sufficient. I wailed, I cried, I bent over, I stood up, I may have praised God, I thank the jury over and over and over again.
When I heard not guilty, I, my gosh, did I hear that right? Or what went wrong? What made this jury believe he's not guilty?
And that was the question everybody was asking.
I honestly believe that there wasn't one person that sat on that jury that won't remember this case for as long as we live.
You feel good about what you did?
Yes. Yeah, we all did.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Hey, there's an Indiana DOC handbook.
In the weeks after David Kam was finally acquitted of killing his family,
David, you're a free man?
He began exorcising remnants of his 13-year nightmare by burning them, including his old prison uniform. His family taped it with our camera.
Did you watch them burn?
I did.
And you thought what?
Good riddance. It's over, it's gone. It was therapeutic.
You're smiling a lot more than you ever have in the time that I've known you.
I told you, Richard, it's hard not to smile. It just really is. I'm just so thankful.
Oh, honey, I hope. I can't believe it.
I'm here.
After 3 trials, 12 jurors finally saw things Cam's way. We spoke to one juror who asked that we not use her name.
I felt so badly for him. I mean, here's a man who has been persecuted for 13 years for a crime I don't believe he committed, and he's
lost.
So you
said persecuted. Did you mean
persecuted?
You meant to say persecuted.
Yes, I said, meant to say persecuted.
In this juror's mind, the state's case fell apart almost as soon as it began.
I was put off by the third witness.
She's talking about the state police crime scene investigator.
He stated that this looked like a Dave Kam crime scene before he ever stepped foot into the garage. We all felt that he definitely was looking for evidence to support the conclusion he'd already come to. And that's not the way you should investigate a case.
That's just what Kam's lawyers argued. They said all the state's investigators ignored evidence that showed Kam is innocent, especially when Charles Bonet entered the picture. Defense attorney Stacy Uliana.
When they got him in that interrogation room, they didn't say, you're a violent convicted felon who attacks women, you did this, tell us what happened. They said, well, it's better to be a witness than actually a defendant. Tell us what you saw. Give us David Kam. Tell us the connection. We don't think you shot anyone. They're not searching for a murderer. They're searching for evidence that David did it.
Of course, Bonet is now the only man convicted in these murders, and he defends the state's case against David Kam.
And here's the thing, Mr. Schlesinger, in all fairness, 24 jurors found him guilty, Mr. Kam guilty. They heard the same evidence, and they believed that it was possible.
But the jurors in those other two cases never heard from Charles Bonnet. In this case, the jury came face to face with him.
He's a really smart liar.
What's his agenda?
All the time. To get out of jail and be free, and to put Dave Kam into jail in his place.
In Indiana, jurors are allowed to ask questions of the witnesses.
One of the questions that I asked in court was, what was Dave Kam wearing the night that this happened? And he gave me the wrong answer.
What did he say?
Long pants and a t-shirt. He didn't have long pants on. He had basketball shorts on.
What did people say about Charles Bonnet?
How scary he was. Very scary individual.
These jurors heard the same arguments the other two juries did.
Did the 12 of you discuss those 8 spots of blood a lot?
No.
She says the blood was not nearly as important as the basketball players.
Who saw him? Who would swear that you saw him during that warm-up time?
The main reason that we all came together to acquit him was because of the ball players.
Couldn't he have slipped out undetected, gone and killed his family and come back? It's not that far. It doesn't take that long.
Well, it was 5 minutes either way, and so there's 10 minutes right there. The thing that we all agreed on was that you can't be in two places at one time, and we believed he was playing basketball and did not leave.
Case closed.
Case closed.
And that is precisely what three teams of defense lawyers have spent 13 years trying to get across.
Very often have no idea if what you're doing is right, wrong, and to have somebody say, yeah, you guys actually got it right is really quite touching.
You wiped away a tear.
Mm-hmm.
This really, it means something to you.
Throughout all three trials, the faces and the memories of three innocent victims, Kim, Brad, and Jill Kam, were on the minds of everyone. David Kam's family and Kim's parents, Frank and Janice Wren, who still believe to this day that David Kam is guilty.
I can't imagine what they'd be like today if they was alive. You know, Bradley be 20 and Jill be 18. I just remember them as, you know, 5 and 7 year old kids.
Tell me some of your favorite memories of Kim and of Brad and of Jill.
Kim was the best thing that ever happened to me. She had extraordinary love for me. And I know that Kim knew that I loved her.
You must replay scenes in your mind of happy moments with these kids. Can you tell me some of those?
I respect your position and the fact that you would want to ask that question, but it's all I got left. And I don't really want to share.
You don't want to share the memories?
They're mine. They've taken everything else from me. And I'm holding those for myself.